Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. With episode 88, my name is Jerry, got Denzel with me. And first and foremost, let's get into number 88, man. Who will we honor today is number 88. We got some choices.
We got some choices. I mean, I don't know if you got any extra other than the ones I'm thinking. And they're all coming from the Big D, Dallas. Well, the medium-sized D, pause, no Diddy. Because to me, the Big D,
pause. Don't say it. It ain't there. It's Dallas, man. It's Dallas.
Hey, look, but I had to say this because Detroit is the D for me. When we talk about the D, it's Detroit. The D is Detroit, not Dallas. And I'm a Texas resident. Dallas is up the road. Been there. Enjoy the city. It's a nice city. You know?
Yeah.
But, however, the D is Detroit. But I digress. I digress.
Do y'all got any 88s from Detroit?
What number was Herman?
You got to think this hard. Y'all ain't got nobody. Okay. Come on, let's move on. Dallas it is, man.
Listen. Get Detroit out of the conversation.
Get out of here.
Tiger Woods, that joint.
Yeah.
All right, so, hey, check this out. But the three names I got all come from Dallas. Dez Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Dez Bryant, yep.
Most recently, CeeDee Lamb. But for me, all time.
Let's hear it.
Playmaker, Michael Irvin. You know what?
I like that.
I was a Dallas hater. I was a Dallas hater. I ain't gonna lie, I was a Dallas hater growing up. Because I'm a Barry Sanders guy. Here we go, bringing Detroit back into it.
Yeah.
Everybody always leaned towards Emmitt Smith because he was bringing home the rings with Troy Aikman and all those guys. And I was never a big fan of Troy Aikman. Sorry if you're a cigar smoker, Troy, and you're watching this episode. Probably not. But out of all the players from Dallas, other than Deion Sanders, once he joined the team, Michael Irvin. I always was fond of Michael Irvin. I liked his game. I liked his game. Yeah.
So what about Marvin Harrison, though?
I don't know too much about him.
Colts.
Who was he with? Is it Colts? Yeah, okay, I was going to say Colts. Yeah. I didn't follow him too much.
Okay.
But
okay.
Even
hey, Michael Irvin is the choice.
He got a chip with Peyton Manning, didn't he?
Yeah, Marvin Harrison was that guy. Yeah.
He was that guy. Okay, yeah. I didn't follow him too much. Anything that happened?
Peyton, though. Peyton was always my favorite quarterback, man. So
Peyton was cool.
Yeah.
And the Colts got it done. Then he got it done again in Denver. But, Michael Irvin, hands down, 88. Big 88.
I like Irvin. He was my favorite out of the name. So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah.
So, cool. With that being said, man, let's get into the cigars. Who will be going into the rafters on this episode this week?
Okay. You want me to go first?
I'm disappointed with mine, man. I'll go first because I'm so disappointed. I need yours to make me feel enthusiastic again.
Okay,
man.
Well, let me sit mine down because now I'm curious as to why you're disappointed. Please tell me it's a Gurkha.
It's not a Gurkha. But I was on a little bit of a road trip yesterday. And uh-huh. I didn't make time to have my go hit a humidor where I could actually pick out my choice for this week. And because of that, while on the road, I pull off for a stop at a Starbucks and I see a smoke shop in the plaza nearby. I'm like, you know, let me go run over to the little smoke shop over here after I grab my drink and use the bathroom. So I do that, go in. I'm like, hey, y'all got any cigars? This is all off the strength. You told me I could go to these smoke shops and be straight. So
some of them you can.
I go in and they got just a little wall closet over there, a size humidor, very small selection. I look through. They had some good names. You know what I'm saying? They had, I can't even remember the names right off the top of my head now at this point, but they had names we're all familiar with. About four names. All cigars I had previously smoked on the show before, though. So I'm like, I can't do none of these that you got in here. Yeah. So I'm looking through. They had a couple of no names in there. I'm like, this look like the stuff that the brothers crack open and roll their blunts with. I ain't going to do those. So I said, is there anything I know in here that I haven't smoked? I look through one more time. I see Drew Estate.
Okay.
So what Drew Estate got? I look up and it's a Isla del Sol is what this is.
Okay. You shouldn't be disappointed.
The disappointment comes because when getting the specs on it, I discovered this is probably, from what it told me, a flavored cigar.
And
I
said, It is.
They want a flavored cigar. I don't want a flavored cigar today, but I'll give you the specs anyway. It said the strength is labeled as flavored. So I'm like, dang, oh man, I don't want that. But the wrapper's Indonesian Sumatra. Nicaraguan is the binder. And Nicaraguan is also the filler and the origin. And okay. I have the Churchill shape is what I got. So
nice. Yeah. Hey, look, so I'm going to say this, right? I am familiar with that cigar. I'm not going to say too much about it because I want you to experience it on your own. I want you to follow the journey. It's sweet.
Smell it already.
Smell like French toast, right?
Yeah, man. Syrupy smell.
Heavy syrup. Heavy syrup. Yeah. Maple syrup. Nah, but I get it, though. I mean, and it's, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to just let you have your own journey. But I am familiar with it. And it is a flavored cigar. So I'm interested with what I know about the cigar already. What angle you're going to take with if you like it or not. You know, we had the Deadwood series. We know Deadwood.
Yeah.
We like those. But I already know the differences. And I already know how they kind of match up for me, for my palate. So I'm interested to see where you're going to go with it. I am curious. So you might be disappointed, but I'm ecstatic because I want to see where this goes.
I'm going to judge it on a curve. I'll say that in advance. I think that's the only fair thing to do because I'm going in this wanting a cigar for real, like a real cigar.
Yeah.
And I could be getting a straight up flavored cigar, but Drew Estate does do well with mixing a little real tobacco with the flavor ones. But I just feel like I got an acid in my hands, and that's not what I want. But we'll see. Maybe I don't.
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to laugh. I'm just going to laugh at it. Only because I get it. I get it. All right?
I did bad preparation this week, so that's my fault. I get what I get, and I deserve it.
All right.
Deserve it.
Now, you good. All right, so I'm going to go into my picks for today. All right, so, man, I wish I could. Matter of fact, let me do this. Let me do this before I. Because I do want to get into something. You know, I want to welcome our viewers, listeners, or whatever. And when you chime in and you say something and you want to give us some tidbits on what we should smoke, some suggestions, I want to shout you out. So we had a gentleman, looks like the KG Experience 1004, made a comment and said, hey, try Fink's 1893 for your next $5 cigar since I'm in the San Antonio area. So shout out to you for making that suggestion. Thank you for listening and understanding, hey, we will try anything that's out there, especially if that's, hey, we'll give it a fair shake. Whether it's a $5 stick or whether it's a $100 stick, reluctantly sometimes. And whether it's a name that we recognize and we love, or it's a name that we either don't love or we don't recognize. So if you got a comment and you got a suggestion for us, hey, throw that suggestion out there. So I did go to Fink's. I did find the 1893 Fink's. Not going to smoke this today. Not going to smoke it today because I just came up with a $5 stick. So we're going to venture away, but I'll revisit this on episode. If not on episode, we'll do a review on it and post a review on how the cigar went. But shout out to you for making that suggestion. We got it right here. All right. So now my two main choices.
First, I got to clean my palate before I go back to another $5.
Before I go back. Hey, look, I got to do it. But I got Camacho, man. I think I've smoked a Camacho before an episode. I think you smoked a Camacho too, right?
Yeah, they had Camacho there yesterday. I passed on it because it was one of the bands that I had.
Most carry Camacho. And that's kind of like why I usually lean away from Camacho, because it seems like Camacho is one of those ones that they're kind of in the fold with those. I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say it. To me, it just doesn't come off as a cigar that, hey, as a cigar enthusiast, it's a cigar that I should grab. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to Camacho, because anytime I've had a Camacho, they've been good. I've enjoyed it.
It's not the little fun sticks like they seem. Seem like it's a teeny bopper stick, but it's not
it
that.
It does. Like when you see it, it's like, whatever. It ain't for me. But no, they've been good. I've enjoyed them.
Yeah.
You know, my socks haven't been knocked off by them. Like, wow, I gotta have the cigar again. But I've had the cigar. I'm like, you know,
solid. Right,
so cool. Yeah. Solid. So I grab one, thinking, hey, that might be one that I'll go with. It was a Camacho broadleaf. You know, nice brown wrapper there. You know what I'm saying? Look good. But then I went a little bit further and I passed by my father's. Like, man, I love my father's. They're my favorite. I think I've smoked them all. But then I realized when I looked down and I saw this Fonseca. I haven't smoked this one before. And if I'm not mistaken, it was one of the top 25 sticks of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm leaning towards giving this a go. I haven't had a My Father's in a while. I've had a lot of them during my journey, but I haven't had one in a while. So this might be, I might be coming back home.
I like the idea of it.
So My Father's?
Go for it. I'm with it. I'm excited to hear what Fonseca, with an O or A, Fonseca or Fonseca?
Fonseca. Fonseca. Fonseca.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me give you a rundown of it. So medium on the profile, wrapper Corojo, Nicaraguan, Rosado, mm-hmm. Origin Nicaraguan, binder and filler Nicaraguan. So we got a lot of Nicaraguan, but that's just that Corojo and Rosado on the wrapper. Here we go. Give it to me, my fathers. Let's do it.
Let's see. I'm punching. Cut. Well, I punched.
I was going with straight cut for okay. You. Yeah. Okay, straight cut. Nice little touch on the cedar around the... around the stick there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Big fan of that cedar, those cedar wraps. If I'm not mistaken, you had one that was like that a couple weeks ago, right? They had a cedar mm-hmm. wrapped around the cigar?
Mm-hmm. I did. Toasting the foot of this stick, man. You know, I don't do these Churchills too often, man. So it's kind of... I gotta position myself to get to the foot differently than normal. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she has some long boys.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a leader now. Like I should lead a nation with one of these long things, man. Like Winston or Fidel. God knows, boy. That's some serious flavor coming off that thing,
it's
boy.
It's sweet, ain't it? I didn't want to give you a precursor, but those Islas, yeah. You talk about sweetness, it's up there. It's that probably, is in my sweet. Opinion, I think it's one of the sweetest cigars you'll be able to find on the flavor in that flavor realm.
That is sweet. Ladies, try this out. If you're not into nothing too heavy, yeah, try that one out. Isla del Sol.
All right, there we go. My father's, you toasted, you lit. We got some spice right off the top. It's a nice spice too. A nice spice.
That's cool, man. You're lucky. I ain't gonna get no spice on this. I already know. speaking of cigars, though, man, you said that earlier. You mentioned that Davidoff is re-releasing a Maduro cigar?
Yeah. So just this morning I saw it. Just this morning. It said, I think it was off of Half Wheel, where Half Wheel said that Davidoff is releasing, I got it right here. They're re-releasing the Maduro, right? So it's now available. So they have re-released it already, right? So okay. It got discontinued in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're bringing it back with a new look, a new blend, I don't know what's so different about the blend just yet. It looks like it's Mexican binder fillers from Dominican Republic. And that nice Maduro, right? That nice Maduro wrapper leaf that we love. That
beautiful Maduro.
Like, it's something about that Maduro. Like, it just, it takes all the flavors to me, in my opinion, and it just brings it all together. Like, it's that nice median. That nice median that just brings a flavor that can be all the way from here to here, and it just brings it and blends it. And I can just imagine how Davidoff would utilize that Maduro wrapper to their advantage to make something that's just...
See, I wonder why it got discontinued and then re-blended, though. That's the concern. And not even the discontinued... Well, that explains... Well, I guess the answer is all in the way everything played out. Discontinued it. Just didn't quite meet up to sales expectations. Said this stick had potential. Let's just tweak this, this, and that, and we should be good. And then maybe they, you know, re-released it. Or is one of, or the other possibility is wherever they were getting their leads from, they were no longer able to keep up with the demand. So they had to get rid of it. And then when it was like, all right, we need to bring this stick back, it's like, all right, who can we go to get a quality leaf? You know?
Yeah, it does look like Davidoff was searching for that particular leaf that they wanted. They wanted the right leaf, right? So saying that natural temperature increase of the fermentation.
Yeah.
So the extended period of time that the leaf is curated for, right? Or fermented, right?
Yeah.
And just them finding the right leaf, the right Maduro leaf that matches their quality. And then going through an extensive process. So
okay. So production issues. And now they cleaned that up and they back.
And also just looking for probably something that just meets their quality level, which is something that we need from a reputable cigar brand like Davidoff. Is to step the game up and keep that quality high. It's like, hey, look, we're not gonna short sell our cigar lovers, our cigar enthusiasts, our core base and sell them short just to put something out and produce it and just say, here, we got something, you know, Alec,
Bradley, goodness gracious,
Romeo.
Thank you for saying them. Cause I forget to ride on Romeo. Yes. Romeo y Julieta. Add them to the list, man. I got to remember to start teasing them.
Yeah, put them out there, man. Put them on blast. But I mean, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need for our cigar lines to stand firm on what is true to the culture. I get it. We got to get production out there. We want to make money. We want our companies to grow. That's how we stay a strong presence in the cigar industry. But you don't want to lose your core. You don't want to lose those guys who have been riding with you for 15, 20 years, enjoying these cigars that you've been putting out because you want to sell it short just to keep producing, Right. No, let's keep selling this quality. Keep selling this quality. Cause guess what? If you sell this quality, we're going to get it. We have no problem getting it. I've learned that of myself because I was one of those shy guys who didn't want to spend over $12 for a stick. But now as we go and we grow, hey, you going to sell me quality? I'm going to meet you there.
That's a nice way you put that, brother. You said you were one of those shy guys. I would have called you frugal. Cheap even. But you said shy. I like that.
Hey, man. Well, I'm going to keep it in the rail.
Hey, man. Let's get into some everything else, though, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey, look, man. So you shouted out your steak. You said, hey, women, ladies. STOLs, right? Or SOTLs.
S-O, yeah.
This cigar's for you. So shout out to the ladies, man. In that mode, shout out to the ladies. Because women's sports, it's on
fire right now.
Yeah. Women's sports is up right now. I mean, like, we got March Madness that just went down. We're hitting the Final Four. Final Four is going on. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was never huge on women's basketball, even women's college basketball. But this year, specifically this year, last year too. But this year, man, I've been paying way more attention to the ladies on that collegiate level than the men's. I know more about who was in the Final Four than I'm sitting here having to guess. Alabama's in the Final Four for the that's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm having a hard time keeping up with the men. But along the line throughout this tournament, I'm lockstep with the women. I'm hearing everything that's going on, all the big news, the Angel Reese, the Kaylin, they're getting to it. Iowa getting to it. Dawn Staley and her girls out there getting to it. You know what I'm saying? And it's been something to see. And I applaud it. I like seeing this. It's taking me by surprise because we've been critics of women's sports in a sense. Not critical like as far as, you know, downing them or whatever, but just saying, hey, look, if you want that demand for the type of attention that you garner, hey, step up the quality that we're pushing out, the product that we're pushing out. And it looks like that's what's happening, especially on that collegiate level.
Yeah.
Women's sports, man.
Well, this is how you this attention that they're garnering and that the ladies are earning for themselves right now is how you get those checks you want. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm of the thinking of, and it sounds like a bunch of male chauvinistic jerks, but the way capitalism works is you get paid by the attention you garner. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just as simple as that. So a lot of the ladies that felt like they were getting paid unfairly, and then you hear things like the WNBA is not turning a profit. It's like, well, where does this money come from then? You know what I'm saying? But if you are able to make yourself a star and get some attention on you, get the eyes on you, then the money comes. And that's that. These ladies are now setting the foundation for the next generation of women to really be some superstars and really start getting paid the way they want to get paid out here. So I applaud it, man.
Yeah.
You see Caitlin Clark, she got the big three offer from Cube, $5 million.
I did not see that. No, I didn't see that.
Ice Cube offered her $5 million to join the big three. That's a big contract for the ladies.
Instead of going to the WNBA.
Now, from my understanding, she can't do both because they won't allow her to be in more than one league, even though the schedule-wise, it won't interfere with it because the big three, the time of the year big three takes place. But from my understanding, it won't allow. So she'll have a choice to make, you know.
Will she make $5 million in the WNBA?
If she does, she'll be the first to do it. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing, and I think, I don't know if it's Cube trying to push their culture, trying to help push their culture forward, right? By doing that, it might push the WNBA and their partnership, especially with the NBA, to say, hey, look, we got to come together and we need this talent in our league and we're going to push, because it's just like in any sport. When you have a quarterback that gets that first $100 million contract of any time, you know, now that becomes the standard. That becomes the demand for all quarterbacks that come after them.
It's a thing now.
It becomes a thing. So now, maybe 15 years ago, that first quarterback, they got a $100 million contract. Now, every quarterback who's worth their weight in gold, they're demanding, hey, I need $100 million up. I need $120. And then it gets pushed to $150, and I need $150. Now everybody's trying to match that. So with Q going out there and saying, hey, look, I'll give you $5 million. So now, WNBA got to respond. The NBA partnership has to respond. Hey, let's give her $6-7 million. Now all the ladies, they're not going to try to figure out how we can get this money. How can we market this? And especially with the attention that they're getting, because when she goes pro, just like Angel Reese, she's going pro. She put her hat in there and said, hey, look, I'm going pro. It's getting that attention. And once that attention, like when it's like this, like it's been like no other time, even with the Lisa Leslie time frame, this is the biggest amount of attention over Brittany Griner, who's the other? I can't remember her name right now. Candace Parker. Even bigger than Candace Parker's time. Like this is monumental, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that attention goes to the WNBA. It's now we're cooking. Now we're cooking. Yeah. And the NBA is going to want a piece of that. The WNBA is going to want a piece of that. So they're going to have to offer her that contract.
Yeah. And that deal is a fantastic negotiating piece because now he set the bar for what her value is. Mm-hmm. Now, when she goes to negotiate her first contract, this is my value. You see my value because this is what somebody's willing to pay for me. You know what I mean? And like you said, the WNBA really needs this. There, we're looking at the possibility. If the WNBA is smart, they will do this the way the NBA did with Bird and Magic. Rig this thing up and make this the your Bird and Magic moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because rig this, it up where they go to two big markets and this works out where these are the big matchups and let it do for your league what it did for the NBA.
Yeah. Because this is going to be bigger than just national. This is going to be this might be the first time that the WNBA might go broad, talking about like internationally big. You know what I mean? And like you said, you put a number on my value. This is my value. Now you have to meet me at my value. And if they're smart, that's worth the investment. That's a huge investment. Like you said, that investment of Bird and Magic. We're going to take this dynamic with Bird and Magic, and we're going to grow our league off the hills of Bird and Magic. And that's what happened. And then they got a Michael Jordan down the line, and boom, boom, boom. And now we just... But it took with that first investment of saying we're going to feed into these this talent that we have and cultivate this whole Bird and Magic idea. Now we get Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the end. This is, matter of fact, you know what? This is the same thing.
Same thing. It's matching up perfect. That's why I say people already think sports is rigged. Just rig it up, man. Forget it. Openly rig it up and we'll move on past it. People's attention is that big. So we'll forget about it, the fact that you rigged it up.
So Angel Reese, she won, right?
Mm-hmm.
She won. Caitlin Clark wins. Now you got two winners on the collegiate level. They're both in the WNBA at the same. This is exactly Bird and Magic. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it.
Bird and Magic.
This is literally Bird and Magic all over again. Instead of Michigan State and Indiana?
Indiana, yeah.
We got LSU and Iowa.
Yeah. Same thing in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, LSU ain't Michigan State, but at the same time, kind of is as far as a school level. You know what I'm saying?
That school, and then also for we're talking about that how they perform in their genre, I guess. Women's sports, LSU was kind of like what a Michigan State is, and then Iowa was kind of like what Indiana was. It's that same vibe. That same
very much opinion. Close to one another. Yeah, I agree. And the WNBA and the NBA included, because their partners can't miss this opportunity for lightning in a bottle. It's there. It's trapped. Don't let her go get bought out by the Big Three. Because ultimately, if she goes to the Big Three, that's going to ruin everything. And I don't know when you're going to get this opportunity again. Because she will be playing against men. She will be making more than the men. So she will have a target on her back by men. It's okay for her to have a target on her back amongst her peers in the WNBA, but don't give her a target on her back where these men make her look bad and then she loses value going into the actual WNBA.
And if she's smart, she would think about that. If she's smart, she would think about, you set a precedence for my love, for my value. If I go here, could I potentially lose value? Or if I go here, can I potentially up my value plus up everybody else's value? If she goes to the Big Three, she doesn't affect anything other than her pockets. She'll get that $5 million and then her value might diminish. Or if she shines, I don't know.
If she shines, she still can go over.
Yeah. But will she shine? That's a tough thing. And we already know, like we talked about Serena, she's already said, hey, look, as nice as I am, and as bad as of a tennis player as I am, I'm a bad girl. I can't hold a candle to these guys that's hitting the ball. I can't. So
and see, the half court system of the Big Three favors these old men also.
Right.
You know, but her youth doesn't really get to shine in a half court game.
Yeah, you're not running up and down and running them down. Yeah. She can probably really outrun these guys for sure. She can outrun these guys. Her conditioning probably is way better than these guys right now. And in her youth, you know, in her training and what she's used to. But these guys, like the half court, you see the old men in the gym. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You get them in the half court game, or they gonna bully you all day.
Yeah, like, it's gonna favor. All her strengths don't get to shine in that half court that she would have over them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but look, at the end of the day, if the WNBA even offered her, if they crack that $1 million mark and offer her $1 million, it's still something to consider going to the Big Three on some selfish stuff. Because who knows? You ain't guaranteed that you'll ever make five in the WNBA the way things are now.
Fact.
It's just, so she's under a lot of pressure to take the money, I would think. You know what I'm saying? Because when does this opportunity present itself again? But at the same time, you do have the opportunity to change everything for women that comes after you. But if she get the contract, great. Because now the door's open. Everybody going to be jealous of her. She's going to have to deal with a lot of hate. But everything is going to progress from this point forward if she gets offered a big deal and takes it to the WNBA.
But, yo, I think the pressure, there's more pressure on the WNBA. Mm-hmm. There's more pressure on the WNBA to say, do we break the bank? Do we break the bank and make this deal happen? Pay her more than, astronomically more than what everybody else is getting paid. It's going to garner some hate, right? And then also, other people are going to start demanding more money too. But if it's done right, they'll make more money to where they can meet
those demands. The money will be there, done right. Yeah.
So pressure's on. Hey, do we take this investment? Do we make this happen? Do we jump out the window on this? Yeah. And short answer for me is yes. You better.
Yeah.
Because if you got to go talk to the NBA, you say, we have this partnership. Hey, man, y'all got $5 million. Because there's somebody on there's a 12 man on somebody's roster that's getting a little bit too much. We can shave some of these contracts if we got to. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, there's money floating around. It's a $1 billion industry in the NBA. They got $5 million that they can, give it to her.
Yeah.
$6 million. Give it to her. It's an investment. Yeah. It's only gonna make the whole thing grow even more. You're going to make more money if you make that investment. That's how I feel. Bird and Magic all over again in women's sports. You don't miss this opportunity. Like you said, lightning in the bottle, you don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah, you don't. And on top of that, with the WNBA getting some of the negative attention that it gets from its fan base sometimes, us complaining about it, that means that the actual NBA could be kind of ticking down some. while we're doing this, you know what I'm saying? This is an opportunity to help out. Like,
man, as a matter of fact, my son told me the other day, because he's been into the women's tournament, and he was like, "Hey, Dad, like the way the women are playing, they're not playing like." And he's about to turn 15. He's only 14, and he's only been watching basketball for so many years. And he's like, "They move like the guys move now. Like the game is getting a little bit better and just better to watch. It's more of a of an exciting game to see. They're becoming more athletic. Their athleticism is increasing in a way that it's being more fun to watch." I'm trying to make sure I say this the right way, so I don't want to diss anybody, right? But that's just the way that we've always looked at the game. It's like they're less athletic as the guys. It's not as fun to watch. The intensity isn't there, but now that intensity is ramping up. The skill level is ramping up. You got Caitlin Clark taking threes from NBA range on the college level. She's shooting from everywhere, which is where the game is going on the NBA side. So why not match that? Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, watching the women play, like they getting to it." And just seeing him from his standpoint, being a younger. So as this becomes a Bird and Magic thing, this is maybe not for our era that we're going to pay as much attention to it, but for my son and his era and younger, as they grow up and the league gets better and the skill set gets better, this might be you have a chance to catch. Yeah, you have a chance to catch this demographic to say, "Hey, look, this is a prominent sport." Just like, hey, I like to watch certain women's sports over men. I'd rather watch tennis before I watch men. Some of the track and field events, I'd rather watch track and field before I watch some of the men. This could become a moment.
It could become a moment. But look, and a lot of that is compliments to the training. You know what I'm saying? The information that's out there. This generation, women have the ability to train differently, and it's probably allowing them to be a little more athletic, a little stronger, a little more skilled. You know what I'm saying? Just with different advances in technology and medicine and AAU leagues and stuff that didn't exist.
They get more dunks off, man. They get more dunks off now.
They still look trash, but you know what I'm saying? But they starting to get their dunks off. You know what I'm saying? So we getting there, man.
Did I send it to you? I was going to send you a clip. It was on TikTok or something of a compilation of women dunks. I might not have sent it to you. I might have
somebody sent one to me because I seen it and I seen one and I was like, ugh. You put it this year in the league. All the dunks and stuff.
Yeah, it was a compilation. But, it might have been me. I might have said that to you then. I was like, Okay, they actually getting the ball in there. All right, let's go.
Yeah, but it's progress, though. It's progress. I'm satisfied with it. I'm happy for it. And we just talked about basketball, but across the board, women's sports across the board, man, is all on the uptick, man. So,
yeah,
shout out to the ladies, man. Y'all go to your favorite cigar lounge and tell them to custom women's sports on for you while you're in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Hey, man, how you feeling about Isla Del Sol?
Man, nothing. I don't feel nothing about it. It's fine, man.
It don't feel like a dessert cigar?
It feel like a dessert cigar, man. It's fine. It's got, feel like I'm eating, smoking cookies and with a little coffee on it. You know what I'm saying? But that's about it, man. You know, it's fine. Okay. No, man. I didn't want to smoke cookies today.
It's fine. Here you are.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But here I am.
Hey, my father's Fonseca, man. I'm liking it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, don't. Man. We're not paying for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
McDonald's don't get
us. Boop. I had to change the note at the end. You know what I'm saying? Check it up.
But yeah, man. Hey, that's my father's, man. I'm gonna save this for the end. How I'm feeling right now. But it's nice. Spice was nice. Okay. Aroma is key, and it is doing what it's supposed to do. My favorite for a reason. My favorite for a reason. But yo, check this out, man. You asked me a question yesterday. 7-minute drill came out. J. Cole.
Yeah.
Response to K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And he was like, is it worth listening to? I said, yeah, it's worth listening to. I mean, it's cool. It was a response. And I gave you a little bit of warning. You might go to sleep on it. I said you might yawn. I said, but you might yawn. You might end up yawning.
Yeah.
So rap beef, man, is rap beef the same? Is it just us? I don't. Have you listened to it yet? Get a chance to listen?
I listened to it, man.
You listened to it. Okay. So I don't know how you feel just yet because you did not.
I'm prepared for the conversation today.
You gave me no feedback after I said that. You was like, all right, I'm cool on it. All right. Yeah. So I don't know. Hey, is it just for me? Because I said you might yawn because I look at rap beef and rap wars or. You know, responses and disses, it just didn't feel the same for me as it has from our classic matchups historically. Nas and Jay-Z, yeah. Big and Pac. Who else we had? We have LL and Cannabis. LL yeah. and whoever he went after, right?
Yeah, he went after everybody.
You know what I'm saying?
Ice Cube, NWA.
Nice beef.
Ludacris T.I. If you want to come to this area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't really say 50 Cent Ja Rule because that was just a one-sided behind whooping.
Well, yeah, it was. It was. Even though Ja Rule would try to swing back or clap back, however. It just didn't go over well. It didn't hit. But it's okay. But at the same time, in my opinion, you can tell like that energy of that rat beef had a certain mystique to it. So for those people who might have been there. Their Big and Pac, their moment, their era, their time, their time in life, they might look at it differently, you know?
Right.
But how I'm looking at 50.
Is, game and everybody, now that I think about it.
Right? So to me, like, this whole rap beef right now, it's not feeling the same like it used to. I don't know if it's because I'm a little older and I'm sorry if I'm going a little bit longer. And cutting to any of your points, but you made a point to say these guys are older gentlemen. They're in their 30s, 30 plus, almost 40 years old, going back and forth. So it's not that it's not translating because of the young generation, and I'm just not seeing how the young generation is approaching rap beef. These are people that's in our age bracket that came up in the same era that we came up in.
Yeah.
And to me, it's still just not feeling the same.
It ain't feeling the same. Yeah, this is definitely not a shot at the young boys, because that's, they'll take it as one. These guys born in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? They might not be born in the part of the 80s we were, but they born in the 80s, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so this is older guys, man. These are middle-aged men in a beef, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know, man. Something was underwhelming about it, man. And people going to say, man, Kendrick stuff was fire. Kendrick killed it. Kendrick getting all the applause in the world.
It was underwhelming to me, too. It was.
I listened to it.
And I'm like, was that really a diss? Like you had to, okay, maybe it's because, well, I was actually familiar with First Person Shooter. Like, I knew the song, right? I knew some of the references that Kendrick Lamar was talking about. Matter of fact, I knew majority of the references that he was talking about. But for some reason, it didn't hit for me, you know? But
I said the same. When I first heard that joint by Kendrick on Future's record, I was like, them boys ain't got to respond to that. That's what I said right off the bat. Them boys ain't got to respond to that. I told one of my homeboys that, man, they ain't got to respond to that mess, man. Forget that, man. Like, and he agreed with me. He was like, yeah, man, I don't think it's worth a response. And here come Cole responding. And it was underwhelming. And it's like, God, why did you respond with... It was a warning shot, I guess, but it was too, and this is in regards to J. Cole's response. It was too, it was like this, right? Kendrick's diss was like one of them one-hand pushes on the shoulders. And Cole's response back to him was like, boy, why I oughta?
Why I oughta?
But it was a... Dang, man, what is this, man? What is all this huffing and puffing your chest out? But it didn't feel like the attack was there. It felt like a very reluctant response. That's what it felt like.
It didn't feel like a swing or a haymaker. Like, even we've had lackluster responses back in the day, even with the whole Super Ugly deal or whatever. Like, but you felt more umph even in that. Some people still hang on Super Ugly, said not Super Ugly was that. It was it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the takeover, but it was still it. But that was already after Takeover and Ether, and you know what I'm saying? So we already had that volley go on.
Well, the difference is Super Ugly was very venomous also. It wasn't good, but it had more venom to it than Takeover. You know what I'm saying? Takeover was the better disc. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it was more thought out. It was just a lot of... J. Cole best lines from his record come from Takeover. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, actually, the whole calling out the albums and whatnot.
The calling out the albums and then the Arms Too Short, the Box with Gods and stuff. That was all J lines. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. It was. They both could have kept them records to themselves, as far as I'm concerned.
Was it St. Lunatics and Chingy?
That's what this is to me. You know what I'm saying?
Just with better bars.
Much better bars.
It was pretty.
Okay, let's make this clear.
Lunatics.
Much better. These guys were both spitting, but something was underwhelming about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was, this wasn't as good as Drake and Meek's beef or Drake and Pusha T's even.
It wasn't.
It just was missing something on both ends. And I think people are excited because Kendrick's was over a hot song and he took the first shot. You know what I'm saying? But like, it just was missing something.
I feel like this beef has a climb and we've yet the climax in it, maybe.
I agree with you on that.
That's the only high point I would say. Like, maybe this is just the beginning. And we got to see where this goes. Like, maybe it's just, we're just scratching the surface. Because we know they can go.
Both of them can go now. We know that.
Both of them can go.
Without a doubt.
But how deep will they go? Like, how nasty will the beefs get? Like, not nasty in the sense of just being, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But like, how good can it get? Let me just say that then. Let me just say plain language.
Yeah.
How good can it get with both of them being as skilled as they are? Are we going to get that caliber of beef which is, it's good to watch. Beef is healthy in the rap game. We have to have it, right? We don't want to see anybody die. We don't want to see a Big and Pac situation, East Coast, West Coast thing. We don't need all of that. But I do want an LL and Cannabis type of deal. Like, I want to sit back and go, ooh. Hate to see Cannabis go out like that, but Cannabis shots at LL was, I like that joint.
Second round knockout was hard, bro.
It was hard. You know what I'm saying? It didn't pan out well for Cannabis, but the whole back and forth was fun to watch. It was fun to hear. It was fun to spectate on. Ether and, you know what I'm saying, Nas and Jay-Z, we was front seat, and we were going back and forth. People have wars about it, like, as far as friendly wars, of course. Nah, Nas this, Nas that, nah, Jay-Z. It was those kind of conversations, right? To this day. And it's just not that for us right now, not for me right now. But I wonder how the youth is looking at it. You know what I'm saying? With these being the top tier guys in the game, right? The three heavyweights, the big three. Drake hasn't responded yet, right? No, there's no Drake.
No, response. No response from Drake. And Drake might not at this point. Drake might be looking at him like, look at these two fools. Like, this ain't worth me getting into. Yeah. If Drake thought about responding, Cole might have made him just say, forget it. After that, I'm cool on that, man. You know, like,
yeah. And honestly, me as a listener, if Kendrick doesn't come back with something strong, I don't even want to hear Drake respond. Honestly, when you put it that way, like, honestly, I could care less if Drake responded. Only thing I would have liked to see, like, say, if he did respond, if Drake would have responded on the same track with J. Cole, that would have been dope to see. That would have been dope to watch. And if they matched a certain energy level and they, like, really hit it and got it, and then Kendrick Lamar came back with something, all right, now we cooking. Now we cooking. But it just wasn't that. It just wasn't given that.
See, you know, when you said earlier, you said that you feel like we just scratching the surface. I think you feel that way because we're left so underwhelmed by it all.
Yeah,
so you feel like there's got to be more to it because of how good these guys really are. You feel like there got to be more. But in reality, it might not be no more. It could end right here because these guys, ultimately, I think that Kendrick and Cole are cool. And I think, you know, obviously Drake and Cole are cool at this point in time also. Now, I don't know where Drake and Kendrick stand because Drake is sensitive. He didn't like that little stuff that Kendrick do. Kendrick do this every couple of years. He did it on Control. He's doing it again. And everybody else found it enjoyable and responded to Control. Drake didn't like it. He took it personal. You know what I'm saying? So he could take this personal also. But I think these guys are sparring right now. We're just watching a sparring match, but they got the headgear on and they really ain't throwing no high leather at each other, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So if you're going to spar, I want to see y'all spar aggressive. Somebody go for the knockout. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see, I ain't saying to break up y'all friendship over it, but we obviously know, we know right now what we're watching is three guys in the mix who are really seeing who's the best. This is a test of skills at this point is what I think we watch.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we have to see, like, matter of fact, we can call it an exhibition. You say you call it
an exhibition. It ain't personal.
Exhibition. But in an exhibition, like when we saw Tyson and Roy Jones go at it, Tyson and Roy Jones about to fight. But what do we still want to see? We still want to see these guys throw some real punches. Yeah. All-star games come along. All right, we get it. Y'all ain't really compete for a championship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It shouldn't be any bad blood on the court. But we want to see y'all compete. We want to see y'all go at each other. All right. Kobe on the floor with LeBron. We want to see y'all go at it. Oh, Jordan on the floor with Isaiah. Let's get to it. Okay.
Right.
These guys, these are the top of the guys in the league right now. All right, Magic and who, let's go at it. Like, we want to see y'all skills match up. So it ain't got to be any vitriol or anything like that behind the whole beef. We don't want y'all to hate each other. You know what I'm saying? And people still want that album with J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. Still keep it to a point to where y'all can still get to that album at some point and stay friendly. Yeah. But at the same time, I want to see your skills and your skills at the top of it. Like, if y'all going to match up, y'all going to do this, let's do it.
Y'all better play hard. Yeah, I agree. That's a great analogy. This feels like All-Star 2024 right now. I don't want to see y'all go for 200 points. You know what I'm saying? I want to see All-Star from the 90s or the early 2000s. I want to see some of them games. You know what I'm saying? But don't give me 2024 right now. And it feels like 2024 in 2024. I need some throwback stuff because these guys are throwback rappers. They're not 2024 guys.
You're not 2024 rappers. You know what I'm saying? You're not.
He's all time greats in reality. They the best of their era.
I know you know the cloth of some of these beefs, and I know you know the magnitude and the imprint that is left on people's careers. And maybe that could be it, that nobody wants to get hurt too bad to where it taints their legacy. Maybe. I don't know. But then at the same time, this is still a moment to say, hey, look, I got my skills. You got your skills. I really don't feel like anybody's legacy can get tainted at this point. And this was maybe 2015.
Early in their career, maybe.
Yeah. Early in your career. At this point, they solidified. 5, 10 years, you're already 15 plus years in your career at this point. You're good to go. Go at it. You know what I'm saying? If Mike Tyson got knocked out by Roy Jones, I'm not going to look at Mike Tyson as any less than before he got in that ring. If Roy Jones got knocked out by Mike Tyson, I'm not going to look at Roy Jones' career and take any points from him because he got knocked out in an exhibition. I'm not.
Right.
If you get crossed up in the All-Star game, when Iverson crossed up Jordan, it wasn't an All-Star game, but you know what I'm saying? It happened. It didn't take from his legacy, even though LeBron fans now who want to take away from George's career now.
Right.
To me, in that moment, and even now, it still doesn't take away from his career. I want to see how nice you can get and how busy you can get against how busy you can get. Go ahead.
It didn't take nothing from Mike. It just added to Allen. You know what I'm saying? It added Iverson. And that's all these guys have. They'll just have another notch on their belt. But I think we all understand. This beef don't feel personal. It came from out of nowhere. And I think it came from the place of Kendrick is one of them guys, man. He ain't no friendly dude like that. I think he like, hey, let's go have some fun. You know what I'm saying? And he took his shots at the guys he felt was at the top on some competitive stuff. So I think Kendrick is personally, I think he's down to go further with it. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean, and his energy, Cole, in my opinion,
kind of seemed reluctant to do it. Cole kept cool, but I don't want to do what I got to do. I don't want to do this to you, but you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to go for it, but I'm cool. But if you keep messing with me, I'm going to get you. And it's like, come on, Cole. We don't even respond if you're going to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All we do is
like,
jump at each other. You jumping.
Yeah, he's doing that. It's like, come on, Cole. Because Cole is from that old school cloth to me, too. I don't look at him that way. First of all, I don't look at him as a battle rapper. But if you're going to step into the arena, like, don't pump fake. You know what I'm saying? I want to see you go for it. And he strikes me as the kind of guy that wants to compete, but he didn't compete. So I don't know what happened with that outside of the fact that y'all somewhat cool. You know what I'm saying? You know, he had a scrap over Kendrick with Diddy. When they was fighting, it was over Kendrick. So...
Was
he cool with the boy? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think Diddy threw some drink or something in Kendrick's face. So he disrespected him somehow. And Cole was trying to get him off of him. And it led to a scrap from the way the story is told. Like, but
okay,
they're good with each other is what it come down to. You know what I mean? Like, if you weren't good, he took the shot at you first anyway. So he better be able to handle what come back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like,
gloves off. Let's go.
Yeah.
You started it.
Fun with it. You started it. Hey, and then you can hit them on the side, man. I'm sure y'all got each other's number or somebody that y'all know got each other's number. Hey, look, man, it's all fun, man. It's coming. Hey, don't be mad at me. They say Pac told Nas in private, hey, man, my record coming out, I'm dissing you on it, you know, but hey, man, we good after this. Like, you know, but I ain't about to take the verse down. Like, it is what it verse is. Like, verse still come out. But it was different times back then. It probably was getting pressed up. He probably couldn't have done nothing about it. No way. But.
Yeah, now you can change something in the click of a button real quick before you send it out. It's happening.
Yeah.
All right. But, all right, let me cut and click. But yeah, man, so, I mean, if this keeps going, I like to see where it goes. If not, I don't feel like I missed out on anything because the energy is just not drawing me in anyway. So if it happens and it goes down, all right, let's get to it. If it don't, all right, whatever.
Let me ask you this. But, if Drake comes in with a response and he step on Kendrick, like, I mean, like, squash him, does that elevate him, like, to the top of the pack? Because them three kind of get looked at in that same category, but does he get pushed to the front?
You know what? Honestly, I think this has more weight for Drake. If Drake comes at Kendrick and he really gets at him, this will put Drake at the top, right?
Yeah.
Bar him not having any ghostwriters. All right.
Well, if he doesn't, but Drake might already be at the top. And I say that, but as a guy I'm just not saying a Drake off fan, of the, but
yeah, yeah. True. I mean, like, as far as like the bigger artist overall, yes, Drake is the bigger artist. Clearly, he's a bigger artist overall. He just has more. He has more crossover appeal. To me, he has bigger records. People look, maybe look at Kendrick as having the some of the more monumental albums, right?
Yeah.
And then J. Cole is just that guy who's just always consistently just nice, just nice, yeah. just nice. He just doesn't quit with how nice he is, right?
Right.
And Drake, he's had lesser albums and bad times that we just really didn't care about. Oh, you're doing too much singing, or you got the ghostwriters, that whole little thing. But if he comes at him and he survives his beef, or he comes out and has the best verses and the best comeback and the best diss record, this puts him at the best at the top, because he's gone through his thing with Meek and seemingly won that. Like he's if he goes in this and he shines out of the those three. And then he's had his previous beefs, and he's done well with Pusha T. He held his own with Pusha T. He held his own with Meek. And now you go with Kendrick, and you hold your own against Kendrick.
He top 10 after that, right?
Yeah, you got to be. You got to put him there. So if Drake responds, it's responding for that reason. Let me go ahead and shut all this down. Nobody needs to come at me ever again, because I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, if your name ain't Pusha T with Intel, you in trouble. Like otherwise. Yeah, right. Man. But to end it, yeah, the rap beef just ain't the same, man. It just, some of it's lost. I mean, for some people listening to these, following this beef is everything, you know, and I guess I understand.
This might be your big and popular era. Yeah, it is. This might be your Nas and Jay-Z.
It's more so people's Nas and Jay-Z, I think. I think that's the comparison, with Drake being the Jay-Z, the one with the pop appeal, and Cole being the Nas in the situation. Not based on the records they drop, but, you know, just
how they come across in their
stature. Yeah. And Kendrick, I don't know where he will fit into that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know which artist he would be. But either way, hopefully we get a little more fun out of it, man. Cole's my favorite out of it, and I'm disappointed in him so far. So we'll see how this evolves.
So far, that's crazy. Yeah, man. So here we go. Final cigar review. Real review.
Let me go first, man, and because this is going to be, I'm going to knock this out in 40 seconds. So this week I smoked the Isla Del Sol by Drew Estate. This particular cigar, it is a flavored cigar. It's got a sweet, very, very sweet wrapper on it. To describe the sweetness, I don't know. It's almost like a box of cookies in your mouth, butter cookies or something. You know, I don't know. It's very sweet. Very, very sweet. If you're not into sweet, don't pick this up, man. I picked it up by accident for those of you that just might be listening to the review only. But I'm going to judge it based off of being a flavored cigar. I say that it is a few coffee notes in the mix that will keep you from having to feel like you're just smoking a piece of sugar. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that bad.
That's true.
Very subtle tobacco notes. You know what I'm saying? But overall, coffee and sweetness, you know, that I say reminds me of a cookie as I'm describing it. We rate our cigars 1 to 5. I will give this cigar a 3. I'm going to just give it a nice even 3, because it burnt fine. It's still burning now. I didn't smoke it consistently. So the construction is good. I have very good draw on it. You know, it just wasn't what I wanted today. But for somebody who is a new beginner smoker, go get this. Go get this. And the ladies who aren't into very strong cigars, get this also. This is for you.
Yeah. So
3.0, Drew Estate. 3.0.
Yeah. So from my experience with Isla Del Sol, it's not as good as your Sweet Janes or your Fat Bottom Bettys. It's not good as your Javas. It is better than your Acids. But like you said, it is a very sweet cigar. And that's one thing that will keep me from smoking that a lot, because it's to me, it's too sweet. It is sweet from when I had it. Really sweet. And I'm like, it's a nice cigar, but too much sweetness for me. So I was curious to see where you would go with that. I understand. Yeah. I understand. I get it.
Yeah, and maybe my 3 is based off preference entirely. You know what I mean? Somebody might get this and be like, this is what I need in my life. But for me, it's not what I need. But it's I can't complain about it. They did everything right. It's Drew Estate. You know what I mean? So
yeah. All right, cool. All right, so me, man. My father, Fonseca. Y'all see that band right there? Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice band. And let me tell you this, man. So from the aromas and from that subtle nuance of flavor that kind of hits the back of my palate, I'm going to say this, and this might sound weird. Maybe not sound weird, but it might be a big claim. Very Placencia-esque. I'm going off the aroma. Like that feeling that I got when we lit up that Placencia following that Cohiba, and that aroma that just hits you back, right? Very Placencia-esque in that aspect. Now, does it smoke like a Placencia from start to finish? Absolutely not. Right? It's going to give you a lot more pepper on the beginning. It's going to give you a lot more complexities that don't EQ as well as Placencia does. Still Placencia-esque, but that the way that it kind of just meshes together, it doesn't do it like that. So if you're looking for something that's going to give you a little bit more pepper and a little bit more flavors that stick out and stand out, This is the one you want. And as far as my father's go, I would say it might be my favorite my father's now. This might have jumped to my favorite my father's. I really, really enjoy this cigar. I've had the Judge. I've had the, I can't even name all of them right now. But the Flora Antilles, I've had that one. All the my father's, I've smoked all of them that I can think to know. And so far, with the pepper that it gave me, the coffee taste, a little bit of that sweet, a little bit of mocha, that kind of tells it, the aroma in the atmosphere, that Placencia-like feel is giving me all of those things. Some nice oak, some nice earthiness, a little bit of nuttiness that's in there too. Kind of like that acorn feel, but very, very light. So it's just crazy. It's rich and light at the same time. Rich and light at the same time. Like, has that airy feel to it, but rich in flavor. Good pepper in the beginning. Dials back just nicely. Going into that second, third. Construction, very well constructed, just like my father's does, right? And not just saying that because it is of my father's, but that's what they do because they're my father's. So, here we go. So far, it might be my favorite my father's. So, to give this a rating out of 5, man, I'm going to do this. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say a 4-4. I'm going to leave a little room for to find out where this goes. But right now that we're doing our real review and we're really breaking these things down and being really strict on how we're rating in the fours, I am going to say a 4-4. I am going to say a 4-4.
What were you going to say when you said I'm not going to do this? Where were you going?
I was going to go 5. I was going to go 4-7. I almost said 5. I was going to go 4-7.
Man, you just said 5. I was about to say, well, I know you ain't about to get this thing a 5. We didn't get a Placencia 5.
I was going to go 4-7. But I had to dial it back just a little bit and just give a few more thoughts about my experience up to this point. And just give it a few points down. Only because the cigar had a shape. It had to take form. Right? That aroma had to settle in. Placencia's aroma hits you off gate. Right?
Yeah.
So it had to settle in. I had to get a little bit more of that tobacco burn, that smoke to kind of settle in, the atmosphere to like really build up. It's not an immediate jolt like Placencia.
Right.
But it gets there eventually. It gets there. So that's why I got to give it a 4-4 because it is great. It's good. It's nice. It's smooth. A lot of flavors. And it gives you that ride. It gives you, it takes you on a journey. So 4-4. Solid 4-4.
All right, man. Shoot, there you have it. Today is the Michael Irvin episode. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out.
Yep. Yeah.